global ransomware.
The largest cybercrime attack we have ever seen before.
Responding to North Korea's missile tests.
There's a lot of sanctions left that we can start to do.
Wanted, new FBI director.
Interviews are underway.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. With the CBS World News Roundup, it's the start of the work week, and it's a day of global concern that the ransomware cyber attack that hit last Friday could spread. We're live in London with CBS's Vicky Barker.
Several hospitals and medical facilities here remain offline. Britain's health service was among the hundreds of thousands of organizations hit worldwide. Some new victims this morning, but so far no sign of a massive second wave.
My hope is that the high amount of media coverage will have stirred some people into action into defending their systems.
Cybersecurity expert Graham Cluley, fellow expert James Maud, says the hackers used NSA cyber tools leaked by a shadowy group last month.
This is part of the CIA leaks where their hacking tools were released. So the attackers have simply taken an off-the-shelf tool set, an off-the-shelf ransomware strain, combined the two to devastating effect.
Experts warning businesses and individuals that constant vigilance is the only way to stay one step ahead of the hackers. Steve?
President Trump ordered his Homeland Security advisor to look into the attack and try to find those responsible. Our tech analyst Larry Magid says there are precautions systems operators should be taking with updated security patches.
Microsoft has known about this vulnerability for a few months and, in fact, a couple of months ago released an update to the newer versions of Windows, such as Windows 10. But Microsoft stopped supporting Windows XP 2 years ago. Nevertheless, because of the severity of these attacks, over the weekend they released a fix for Windows XP users as well.
Well, North Korea could face stepped-up sanctions for its weekend missile test. It's been condemned by Washington and South Korea. Russian President Putin called it dangerous, but also said North Korea was being intimidated. Asia correspondent Adriana Diaz has more on the launch.
It was actually launched from a very high angle, so it flew more than 1,300 miles in the air before splashing back down into the Sea of Japan. This missile, if it was launched on a normal trajectory at a normal angle, is the farthest reaching missile North Korea has tested to date. It would put U.S. bases in the Pacific territory of Guam well within North Korea's reach.
In Washington, the hunt is on for a new FBI director, a person who will lead the Russia investigation. We're live this morning at the White House with CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
The president said he could make up his mind by the end of the week when he leaves for a 9-day overseas trip, his first as president. Through the weekend, a carousel of candidates cycled in and out of the Justice Department. Top contenders for the FBI post include former House Intelligence Chair Mike Rogers, who's gotten the backing of the FBI Agents Association. Rogers is himself a former agent. Other contenders include the acting director, Andrew McCabe, two federal judges, a sitting senator, and CBS News consultant Fran Townsend. Washington is still buzzing about the president's tweet Friday, suggesting tapes of his chats with James Comey exist. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham was on NBC.
You can't be cute about tapes. If there are any tapes of this conversation, they need to be turned over. I doubt if there are, but we need to clear there.
When asked if there are tapes, President Trump said he won't talk about that. Steve?
For the second time in a week, government lawyers go to federal court to argue for the reinstatement of President Trump's revised travel ban. CBS's Steve Futterman says this hearing will be in Seattle.
The judges will hear arguments for and against the ban. The administration has repeatedly argued that the executive order limiting travel of citizens from six largely Muslim countries falls within the president's authority to protect national security. Opponents claim the ban is illegal because it discriminates against a specific religion.
Well, so far, so good this morning in Atlanta, where all lanes of Interstate 85 are now back in business for the first rush hour since late March when an overpass burned and collapsed. A multi-million-dollar incentive to the contractor got the repair work done ahead of schedule. Syria's Assad regime is close to controlling all areas in and around the capital, Damascus, for the first time in 5 years as his army forces thousands of rebels to flee. CBS's Seth Doan is in Damascus.
Assad's Syrian army has been bombarding the suburbs of Damascus, destroying his own city to root out the opposition. Those who weren't killed were given the chance to surrender. Thousands of rebels and civilians boarded buses near Damascus over the weekend, destined for other opposition-held areas.
Human rights groups say two U.S.-led coalition airstrikes in Syria caused some civilian deaths in attacks on ISIS targets. On a visit to China, Russian President Vladimir Putin was kept waiting for a meeting with the country's president. So he sat down at Xi Jinping's piano. He tried his hand at two songs from the Soviet era. Putin is there to discuss infrastructure. Here at home, for the first time in this country, a person will be sentenced in a federal hate crimes case. Joshua Vallum could get life in prison without parole in Mississippi for the 2015 death of a transgender person. Character actor Powers Booth has died at 68. In the movie Sin City, he played a corrupt senator.
You're going to spend the rest of your life in prison, disgraced, destroyed.
Booth had a knack for bad guy roles, from the movies Tombstone and The Avengers to Deadwood on TV. Booth's publicist says the Emmy-winning actor died of natural causes at his home in L.A. Former big league umpire Steve Palermo has died of cancer at 67. His career was cut short in 1991 when he was shot and paralyzed trying to break up a robbery in Dallas. In Britain, a D-Day veteran has broken the world record as the oldest tandem skydiver. Verdon Hayes is 101 years old.
I'm absolutely over the moon. It's beautiful.
He did the dive accompanied by four generations of his family. Hayes first tried skydiving last year on his 100th birthday. In Las Vegas,
Miss USA 2017 is...
It came down to marketing and Spanish student Miss New Jersey and Miss D.C.
District of Columbia!
Carol McCullough is a scientist in the Nuclear Regulatory Commission in Washington. She says she'll look to spread her love of math and science to kids. A grasshopper gets new life in the upcoming home release of the 75th anniversary edition of the beloved movie Bambi. Here's CBS's Deborah Rodriguez.
Pinocchio had Jiminy Cricket, but Bambi didn't get to keep the grumpy grasshopper.
Kids didn't see you because you're so little.
I'm not little. You're just big.
The nameless insect wound up on the cutting room floor, deemed a downer who didn't advance the movie. Recovered from the archives of the Disney Animation Research Library, the grasshopper will be included in the 75th anniversary cut out later this month. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
It didn't take long for the first flop of the summer movie season. King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, opened in third with a disappointing $14.7 million box office take. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 took the top spot. And that's the World News Roundup for Monday. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.